I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny.
Bum 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 bum.
And there's the copyright strike.
That was actually pretty good though.
It was bad, no. It was good.
This just reminds me of the TikTok of the guy walks around with the do you like in America, do you get like finished tubes of wrapping paper and like start using them as tubes or lightsabers?
Yes, I have definitely done that.
There's a kid on TikTok who's literally like, I don't mean he's still going, but in the early days, he literally used his whole channel to take like wrapping paper tubes and do tunes. And the one that I scrolled on was him doing fucking Black Sabbath.
Jesus, you know what? It's funny. You know what? So right now, me, my brother, and my sister are rewatching Malcolm in the Middle. And like whenever we're eating something, that's what we're watching.
Oh, nice.
It's just kind of how it's worked out. So we're not like binging them, but you know, we're kind of watching a couple episodes every day. Mm-hmm.
Like me with
and
Scrubs.
We just got this episode where Dewey, like, he asks for a piano, but he doesn't get one. So instead he like just starts stealing shit and builds his own piano. And like he starts playing it and he just like tubes and like cardboard and like knives and forks are the keys, and it's just so fucking funny. Yeah. No, that was good shit. welcome to Freeballing, everyone.
Hang on, I love the moment when Malcolm gets pissed off with Dewey being the musical genius. He writes the song and he writes the meow meow song.
What are you doing? It's the meow mix song.
The meow mix song. Oh yeah.
Oh, love that.
Oh,
shit.
Yes, welcome to Freeballing, where me and Sebastian have already started ranting about shit that isn't supposed to be in the episode.
It's how we do.
It's why the people come back. The all two of them.
Welcome back.
We love you.
We love having you.
We love having you. It's like you're here with us, but you're not, and we're happy about that.
Because it would be weird, and there'd be so much more audio for me to edit.
I talked about adding someone into the podcast last week.
I mean, like...
And I, like, as exciting as it could be, you're like, oh, God, no.
Yeah, I mean, like, talking about it the way we're potentially doing it, it's not that daunting, because I've done it before, so it's like, one more person, and, you know, it could be fun. But, like...
Yeah, we'll keep you updated on that, people.
No, I will say, though, like, you know, having us spread out and, like, on different things, it makes it editing a little bit cleaner, a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But if I had some fucker here and you had some fucker there, it'd be like, fuck.
Oh, but we've done that before, though. Like, I've had Selena with me and Bobby with me.
I'm speaking from experience.
Oh, shit. Oh, I'm sorry. Damn it, Selena. No. Damn it, Bobby. Why don't you guys just don't come back, okay?
Oh, man. Ugh. I'm trying to think of a segue. I don't know how to segue into...
Well, the laughs and giggles are about to stop because things are still fucked in Hollywood, people. There we go.
There you go. There it is.
We have to make him smile before we make him cry, Sebastian.
Yep. So, last episode, we were talking about, you know, obviously the beginnings and the rumblings of the writer's strike, and now we are deep in one. We are in it. And it is effectively shut Hollywood down.
Like, oh, 100%. Completely. Like, studios are trying to work a way around it. Like, what was the show that's... Rings of Power. This is the thing that really pissed me off. Rings of Power is continuing to work without writers and showrunners on set.
Yeah.
So if there's scenes or episodes where Rings of Power sucks more than usual, now you know why.
Yep.
You can trace... Like, if they have to cancel after season two for whatever reason, you can trace them having to cancel... Because of what they did through the writer's strike. Amazon is handling this very poorly.
Yeah. I mean, and I understand, you know, because you have all this money invested in these projects, you don't want to just see them in, but also it's the people who created these projects are saying, y'all ain't paying us enough, and you're still going to go through anyway, paying other people. It's kind of bullshit. And this strike isn't ending anytime soon.
No, absolutely. Like,
this is gonna go for a while.
We're gonna be here for a while, and I think we've figured out why, as well as the getting paid what they're rightfully owed, getting the residuals and the royalties that they essentially deserve. The biggest problem I think that has come around is the job security through AI, which producers for the big companies are actually refusing to answer. Basically meaning every big production company, streamer, is looking at developing ideas through AI first, and then a writer can come in to tweak it. Yep. So they don't actually, like, basically, you all your content's going to be written by a fucking robot. Cyberdyne Systems is about to write Simpsons or some shit. Like,
yeah,
what a horrible fucking idea.
And like, it's effectively turning, you know, writing from a career to just to a gig. You know, it's eliminating the idea that you could be a writer and have a career that you can make a living on, you can, you know, get a house from, that you can build, you know, roots from, into a gig where you get a jump from gig to gig, and there's no financial stability in that, and it's fucking crazy. And then, like, thinking about stuff that's already been effective, like, we knew right off the bat, you know, late night TV, you know, SNL, the all the talk shows shut down.
Do we miss them, even though they've been shut down? Like, are they missed?
I don't know, but there have been some big things that have also been either postponed or shut down. Stranger Things has been shut down.
Yep.
Blade has been postponed. Apple TV, show on Apple TV Plus called Loot has been shut down. And George R.R. Martin announced that the writer's room for this new Game of Thrones series, Night of the Seven Kingdoms, has also been shut down.
House of the Dragon is continuing. That is... I mean, that's like they've already had their scripts written. I think one that was affected for me is... So Deadpool 3 is continuing. It's going into production. But one thing that was mentioned is that because of the strike, Ryan can't do script tweaks. Now, why did they mention that? Is that because... like, Ryan does continue to work on the script throughout production and continue to change things. So I'm just thinking, like, how much will Deadpool 3 be affected by something that appears so little, but may actually be a huge thing. Like, you know, Ryan may do a scene and go, oh shit, like, you know, I need to make a change to that scene. He can't do that now. What they've got is what they've got.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know, if you heard about this, but I was just, you know, research, preparing for the episode, and I was looking at an article on Deadline. Apparently studios are going after overall deals too now.
What does this mean?
So, if you have an overall deal, with Warner Brothers, Universal, CBS, Disney, ABC, whatever, your overall deal has effectively been suspended.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, HBO just suspended David Simon's overall deal. He's been waiting for that.
I've heard of HBO doing this. There was a 2 week sort of continuing pay, but now there's there's no pay at all.
Yeah, Netflix has started doing it too.
I think it's even worse from Disney. So Disney hasn't talked about not paying those on strike, but they're also expecting them to continue work.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Are you fucking serious? But in terms of solidarity with our fellow brothers and sisters and everything in between, I guess, these days now, is like all the big names. Like outside Paramount, outside Warner Bros, outside Universal. Yep. Like one of the photos that went viral recently was Christopher and Jonathan Nolan. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the solidarity there. But some of these picket fences are absolutely hilarious. Is without writers, Jenna Ortega will have nothing to
punch up.
Succession without writers is just The Apprentice, and we all know how that works.
So there's one that I saw that I fucking loved. It was like AI rewriting a line when Harry met Sally. It's like, I will have what she is eating. AI wrote that.
Trusting an AI to write a script is that theory of the endless universe monkey theory, that if you give a monkey all the time in the universe with a typewriter, eventually word for word it will write Hamlet. That's basically what we're trusting an AI to do, writing story ideas.
Jesus.
It's Hollywood's always trying to find a way to like not pay people.
Yeah.
And it's now like they have chosen the worst role to fuck up. I think my headphones aren't working properly.
I know.
Can you say something for me?
Can you hear me?
Maybe it was my Bluetooth that wasn't working.
I can't hear you.
Oh, crap, no.
Oh, I can hear you now.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Like,
okay.
I feel like if something was to happen outside of my headphones, I'd hear it.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can keep this in the episode if you want. it's pretty comical. Like... It doesn't sound like the noise cancellation is on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the fuck? Well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it now. Right. But like, because like, you can hear me, I can hear you, all that kind of shit. But it's just, I swear, my headphones are on the fritz. Wait. Is that clicking now? Whenever I'm talking, maybe hitting them. So what you guys don't know is that before this call started, Sebastian tried to phone me 4 times. I answered, and 4 times I hung up on him. So my answer to this was to hit my headphones on the desk,
and Jesus Christ,
and then turn them back on. I Jeremy Clarksoned them. I literally said, "Hammond, you stupid." And I'm sitting here like, I wonder why they don't work.
Jesus Christ.
Oh Christ. Nah, my headphones are all fucked up. Fabulous. This isn't distracting at all. Right strike. It's all fucked up, but there's good things happening in movies, and that would be...
Mm-hmm. We got some trailers.
Sebastian, I have one line for you, delivered perfectly. Mm-hmm. Do you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. That Flash trailer.
I fucking love Michael Keaton. I fucking love Michael Keaton.
Sebastian, a year and a bit ago, like, we laughed earlier this year about you fucking up with your premonition of, like, The Flash being your movie of the year.
You knew
before anyone. You knew before anyone, and this movie was to the moon, bro. Like,
in my defense, I made that prediction before Ezra Miller went batshit.
And before a fucking trailer.
and I understand the irony of my choice of phrase, you know, batshit, as we are speaking of Batman in this trailer. But he looks fucking awesome. The movie looks so dope. I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping it lives up to the hype. And I'm hoping that if it does well enough and it does end up, you know, being used somewhere in James Gunn's universe, that, you know, Ezra Miller comes back and, you know, they're at least 85% okay stability wise. Yeah. Give me 85%. I'll take 85%. Because it doesn't seem like 100 is in the cards.
I mean, we just need a movie that is better than Black Adam, better than Shazam 2, and better than what is we're going to get for whatever Aquaman 2 is going to be.
Yeah, there's so much crap behind that one already.
Yeah.
I don't like, apparently they showed stuff at CinemaCon about it, but I didn't really see or care about it, honestly.
No, I think the news, everything that comes out around Aquaman 2, like, I don't like it when a movie gets review bombed, but that movie is going to get, like, from both parties.
Oh, yeah.
Heard stands, Johnny Depp stands, anti-DC, pro-Marvel fans are like, they're going to be coming together in harmony to hate Aquaman 2. And James Wan's I just want to make movies for you guys.
And I genuinely, that, like, you know, thinking about how all this crap is going to come down, I feel sorry for James Wan and I feel sorry for Jason Momoa, because I imagine these two just set out to make the best movie they possibly could. And they're just going to get fucked because of stuff that was just completely out of their fucking control.
Yep.
And it sucks.
Like, they had no idea what was going to happen. But they were given a choice. They could have said, yeah, let's get rid of Amber and bring something out. There was Emily Blunt, Amelia Clarke. So many, Amber Heard so is just people. Like, I'm trying to think of an actor who's like your basic, you know, Avatar starting skin. Adam Scott. If Adam Scott is your basic Avatar starter skin, Amber Heard is your basic female starter skin. There are so many, like, she's not special.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there's so many other actresses that do what she does, but better.
Yeah. No.
I don't think I've ever liked Amber Heard in a performance. Maybe when fucking, what was that UFC movie? Never Back Down. Okay, cool. She was all right in that, I guess.
I mean, honestly, outside of Aquaman, I genuinely cannot think of anything else I've seen her in.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I'm not fussed by it. It's like, it's, you know, it's whatever. But, like, you know, kind of wanting to switch gears and something that looks just so unbelievably good. Oppenheimer.
Oh. So have you seen Guardians 3 yet?
Yes.
So you've seen the new trailer that came out in front of Guardians 3?
Mm-hmm. Oh, like the 3-minute one?
Holy shit. Although I am worried. Like, I messaged a few people on Sunday that I was watching The Prestige, and I joked saying, "Ah, this is the last Christopher Nolan movie that you could actually hear the dialogue in." I just know that this movie is going to be 3 hours of talking, and it's going to be wrought with Geiger counter sounds, sounds of dust clouds, sandstorms, like unnecessary explosions happening in like the big moments. And I'm just like, I'm just gonna go into like the fucking IMAX control center because I'm seeing the movie in IMAX. I'm just gonna go and I was like, bro, like, you fucking turn subtitles on, please, mate. Like, don't know what it is with Christopher Nolan and like whoever he gets to, like, to do like sound recording, but damn, like, I dare anyone to tell me what Matthew McConaughey is saying in the first 20-25 minutes of Interstellar without subtitles. It's fucking hard, man.
No, it's funny, like, because I was watching the trailer and my brother saw it and he sees, he saw, what's his name, Josh Peck in it.
Yeah.
He's like, Josh Peck? Like, that's fucking crazy, dude.
Josh,
like,
Peck, Jack Quaid.
It's such a crazy fucking cast.
The cast is, like, is bonkers. Every time I talk about this movie, I swear to God, I mention like 3 actors I didn't mention last time. Like, Florence Pugh's in this movie, Emily Blunt's in this movie. You know, but it was on Twitter. I think it was Daily Wire or Entertainment. They said, the latest Oppenheimer trailer reveals Albert Einstein, and the memes that have come out. Like, Oppenheimer ends with like an after credits of Einstein will return. So, oh, I can't wait for him to pull out the tongue and make the silly face. People stand up and cheer for Einstein like they did for Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. Me turning to my girlfriend, that's the guy who fought Stephen Hawking in epic rap battle. Like, they didn't have to do like. We're about to get Einstein the best comic book movie role ever. Like. Come on, man.
Christ.
The movie's gonna end with E equals black screen.
Oh, Christ. Fuck.
Can I just say how great it is for Cillian Murphy to finally be leading one of these movies? Mm-hmm. Like, Christopher Nolan has used him before, but he's always been that sort of, you know, side dish.
Yeah.
It's nice that he's got the chance, because this role could have easily have gone to, like, Leonardo or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, yeah, I think the right choice was made. Cillian Murphy's a great actor. What other trailers did we get? There's Fast X. I'll take it or leave it. I tell you what's looking... Yeah. I tell you what's looking beastly.
Hmm.
Wink, wink. That Transformers movie, bro, is looking pretty naughty.
I know. It looks really,
like,
good.
Michelle Yeoh as fucking Eagle?
Yeah, dude.
Excuse me? I stan Michelle Yeoh. Now, and dude, not for everything everywhere all at once. She's been my girl since Star Trek Discovery, man. Philippa Georgiou?
Fucking...
Hell yes.
Honestly, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon for me was like... I think it was the first time I saw her in anything.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away. Like, anytime I would see her, I was like, ah, it's the Crouching Tiger lady. I know her.
It was like, I had to tell my dad when, like, because when he went to go see Guardians and we saw the trailer, I leaned over. I was like, that's Michelle Yeoh, Philippa. And he was like, wah. Yeah, that trailer's looking good. Like, we're in for a good summer. I think there's one thing people aren't prepared for, which is As good as Oppenheimer looks, this movie is, it's playing with fire, man. It opens the same. It opens the same day as Barbie.
It does.
That's it does. That is a problem. That it, you can't go toe to toe with that shit.
Especially when you consider the kind of movie that Oppenheimer is selling itself as.
Yeah.
You know, it's this very serious look at a guy who essentially created the most deadly weapon on the planet versus this really lighthearted Barbie movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of these movies is winning the family money. It sure as shit ain't Oppenheimer.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, Warner Bros. Is like, they fucked up here.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see like Oppenheimer failing in the box office.
Isn't Barbie a Warner Brothers movie?
Is it? I don't know who's bringing up Barbie. I've honestly not even seen the trailer. I've seen the photo of that fucking foot, but I've not seen no damn trailer.
Yeah, it is a Warner Brothers movie. So Warner is fine.
Why done this?
who's gonna win, Gerwig, Nolan?
Come on, that's that. Like, don't even ask that question because you won't. Well, like,
no,
the but answer. Like,
no, well, like, it wasn't. I don't know. I could be just pulling this out of my ass, but wasn't there a thing where Nolan effectively was like in the process of ending his working relationship with Warner?
Yeah, he has. This is his last movie with Warner.
Maybe that's why they did it. A big fuck damn. You to Nolan.
Damn, bro. How dare they? How dare they?
I mean, that is fucked up. That is petty as shit.
Yeah, that is petty, bro. What else is coming out? There's something else coming out that I'm liking the look of. There it is. Man. I booked my tickets for Across the Spider-Verse yesterday.
Oh, nice.
I booked that shit IMAX. I am proud enough to sit here and face you, my guy, and tell you first happened to me recently.
Mm-hmm.
Me booking my tickets for Across the Spider-Verse and IMAX, I was the first person to do that shit. I got middle seats, middle of the screen. I'm fucking ready, bro. Me and the boys. Them tickets cost money, though.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Even with my Cineworld Unlimited card, Cineworld was like, yeah, we'll just fleece you real quick. Hey, boys, you owe me cocktails before the movie. A lot of them. But, bro... Like, I need to stop seeing footage for this movie. I want to go in fresh now.
And go in blind,
but
yeah.
I learned something the other day. The voice of Miles Morales, Shameik Moore, he's one of the main characters in Wu-Tang, an American Saga.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was a scene recently where, like, one of the episodes, like, he had a good amount of focus on him. I was like...
Mm-hmm.
Hold up, let me pause this shit real quick. let me get out dubs. Holy shit, that's my boy. If I couldn't love that show enough already, I love it even more now.
Nice.
Just before we go to the break, I saw someone review Wu-Tang and American Saga on, like, overall, like, the overall series. Like, I think it was on IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes. So I said, I know this isn't like the real story of Wu-Tang, or like what actually happened, but like if we could actually get that at some point, that would be great. And I'm just sitting there like, my brother in Christ. The series is created by RZA, RZA. It is produced by all the surviving members of Wu-Tang. This is as close as we're gonna get what makes you think you could do any better. I mean, just sit down and be thankful that we've even got anything like this. Like,
just sit down, shut up, watch, enjoy.
People are so quick to sort of you know, talk they shit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like your ass, like your mouth is not your asshole. Don't get them too mixed up.
Yep.
But a lot of people.
But
do.
The amount of people that just like that do it, and just do it so happily too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just spewing shit everywhere.
This is what happens. Why? when as soon as the episode ends and you like you quit off, like you mm-hmm. you're onto the next thing, or like you skip to the next episode, or you don't bother to do your research. It's like, oh, I need to review this. I don't know who the RZA is who writes this series, but he's doing it all wrong. Maybe.
Honestly, dude, it's also one of the reasons that I just got off Twitter. Like, yes. Have an opinion, but to share every little fucking thought, it's just borderline. The amount of narcissism that you think you have to share every fucking thought. Oh, I'm gonna review this. Who the fuck asked you to? Watch it. Shut up.
The amount of brain dead, mindless drones on Twitter is what is gonna lead us to our topic after the break, which is the best zombie movies.
I see what you did there. And we'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I don't know, Marge. My mind is moving a mile a minute. I didn't know what to do. if in doubt, Simpsons.
Nice. You know, it's funny. The other day, I just randomly, I was on YouTube in my living room, and I put on a clip, just like a video compilation of clips from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And I was watching it with my sister, and like... Oh, she is just laughing her ass off, man. Like it's been a minute since like
was it
I've seen
a
her...
pre-season 10 episode?
No, it wasn't an episode. It was just like a collection of clips from all over the Simpsons place, and like
she was just
like laughing really hard, and I was like, I don't ever remember her laughing this hard at the Simpsons before. So it's just like it's crazy, you know?
I have so many friends like so we started this episode with like you talking about how you're rewatching Malcolm in the Middle. I'm still trudging my way through Scrubs, but like I'm sort of focusing on like new things, so I'm mm-hmm. happy to sort of let Scrubs go. If I've got 30 minutes like in lunch or before I go out, I'll watch a few minutes. Like it's something I'm happy to pause, you know what I mean? What I don't want to do is start an episode of Wu-Tang and then have to pause halfway through. It's some like that is a series that needs your time and attention. I think I can count four friends extremely close to me who I speak to often who are all re-watching The Simpsons and are doing so to go through all of Disney Plus, like not stop after season 14, like keep going. And I was like, yo, like I too like to live dangerously. how about no, Scott?
I think at some point we're going to have to do another Simpsons episode because there's so much shit we can get from that.
Oh,
but
we
today's episode...
We'll need to bring Bobby back if we do that.
Yep. We are talking zombies.
Mm.
We are talking zombies. I don't know if you saw, but like there's a bunch of like, oh, halfway to Halloween celebration shit. Like when did that become a thing?
when Halloween became all of the month of October and not just one day in the year.
I don't know, man. I just thought, every time I see that shit, I was like, this isn't a thing. Don't make it a thing. Please don't make it a thing. It is so stupid.
Yeah. I always resent the end of September because, like, all the people I follow on Instagram and TikTok are all, like, sort of releasing it. So, oh, Spooktober is round. No, shut the fuck up. All the people
Halloween is a day.
If you're on Twitter and you change your Twitter name for the month of October, here is a cliff. Jump off it. Like,
honestly, it's almost as bad as those people who's like, oh, it's my birthday month. You get a birthday.
And it's like,
you don't get a month.
Imagine saying in front of someone, oh, it's my birthday month, and it's a leap year for them, and their birthday just happens to be February 29th. That's like some Judd Apatow level of like conversational bullshit. When's your birthday? Oh, February 29th. But there isn't a February 29th. I know. Christ. I would like to speak to someone whose birthday is on a leap year and sort of, what do they do? Do they just move it like a day before or a day after?
I imagine they, you know, they move it to like the 28th. Because like you have to. Otherwise, every four years, you're celebrating a birthday.
Yes, that sucks, bro.
Yeah.
Or just every 4 years, you have the greatest fucking day.
Oh, no. I mean, I imagine, like, you'd still, like, on your actual birthday, because there's so much time, you get to do something special.
There's some rude shit we can talk about here. Like, usually, for some people, birthdays are reserved for some sexual healing. Like you go, fuck it. Your girlfriend comes over to you. It's like, look, okay, cool. So, you know, you can either do the day after, or you can add them up to once every four years. Like, make that shit.
So here's where I think is the downside of that. What's to say in the time you've been waiting, you and that person break up?
Oh.
Then you're shit out of luck.
Well, she owes you.
She's not going to pay. If you're not together, she's not going to pay up.
Sebastian, you text that girl.
Yeah, you text her, you're gonna get a fucking restraining order. It's been 4 years, man. You owe me.
It's February 20. Oi. You just send her the aubergine emoji. Sorry, the eggplant emoji. Like,
I don't care that you're married. I don't care that you have two kids. You fucking owe me.
You said once every year on a day of my choice, or once every 4 years. I chose once every 4 years. I didn't ask you to sleep with my brother within that time.
I don't care that you guys are married. I don't care that I am the godfather to your children. You are going to come over, strip down, and I will go to Pound Town.
You will suck me off.
Jesus, we went so far.
Yeah, how do we bring this back to zombie movies, bro?
Brain dead dudes thinking they could just call on chicks.
Brain dead chads thinking they can just
booty call
taken women. How dare they?
There you go.
I've not done that. Hell no.
Nah.
It's like that TikTok is like, I'm not one of those girls. Hell no. They're all boobs and no brains.
Yeah, that's from an Anna Faris movie.
Yeah. Is it
House Bunny? Yeah.
Okay, now. Why is this the second time this week I've spoken about Anna Faris? We was for some reason Yeah, I don't really want to talk about this conversation because it involves me and my mum and my dad talking about butt stuff, and my mum talking about like the Anna Faris and Courtney Cox in Friends, but she forgot who that girl was. I was like, that's Anna Faris, that's Chris Pratt's ex. So in a naturally organic way, twice this week, Anna Faris has come up in conversations. So that's good for her. People are still talking about her.
Good for her.
Right. So my first movie is Wreck, a Spanish zombie movie from 2007. It's a found footage horror movie. So the found footage and horror is kind of like, there's a bit of a love hate relationship there. You know, you've got Blair Witch, you've got Cloverfield, you've got all these other movies. And there was Wreck sort of falls into that sort of Paranormal Activity, Cloverfield era, where it was like, the Europeans were like, oh, we need to do this, but better. Like, the Europeans will always take something the Americans do, and it's like, oh, we can do it better because we're European. And actually, they did. Yeah. Wreck is awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, two of my movies. If you didn't know, we've shortened our list of five to list of three. Just think it's easier. We don't have to struggle. So I watched Wreck when I got the trilogy for my friend, and he was like, "Yo, bro, like these are really good." But did you know it was foreign? I was like, "No, you just said you wanted horror movies." I went into what was my local video store and found a trilogy of movies. So rather than one, you got three. And I sat down and I watched one with him, and I watched this one. And bro, like, for found footage, the camera is mercifully like steady, because it's meant to be a news. It's a news reporter and her cameraman. So the idea is that even in the thick of it, my man knows what he's doing. And I was like, I love that. That is like, that's so smart. Like, you know, the cameraman sort of maintains his job even in like the deepest, darkest bullshit, which sort of makes me find new love for Cloverfield, like with the shaky camera, the dropping of the camera. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They're the average Tom, Dick and Harry. Shit goes down, things go yeet. Like, that's what happens. When the shit goes down, you better be ready. There's a song in there somewhere. The reason why this movie's here for me is the final sequence. So this entire movie takes place in this apartment block, ground zero of a zombie breakout. It goes nighttime. The final sequence of this movie is ground zero of a zombie apocalypse in night vision. Like, if you don't want to see this movie for whatever reason, just go online and see like reels, clips of the final sequence of the night vision, the night vision scenes in Wreck, and honestly, you'll understand why I've put this as like. So I'm not ranking these movies, but this is why I want to talk about this one first. Like the other two are kind of like sort of cookie cutter zombie movies almost. Just I really like them, but this one was like, this one's a standout to me. This is one of those movies I've watched it once, but I can't really watch it too many times because it is so claustrophobic.
Yeah,
like they definitely filmed on location in an apartment block. Like they didn't build sets, like sort of, you know, things are wider than they actually are. Like, no, like these rooms, man, are fucking cramped. And you gotta think, like, zombie apocalypse, like, you know, you turn a corner, boom, zombie. Your brain chow now. See you fudging later. Yeah. It's like you're so close to everything. And I just can't help but feel like this is where games get some of their shit from. So like, it was my choice to do zombie movies, and I chose zombie movies because I'm currently playing Dead Island 2. And you play so close in that game. Like, you actually, like, they, I don't know if it's like new technology, like sort of the first person camera they've used, but like when you're actually beating the shit out of a zombie, like you can, you know, you upgrade your baseball bat and you can add like fucking weights on it, so you hit someone and they just go flying. Every weapon has force. The more force you have, when you stagger a zombie, you hit them, and it's wee home run time. But like when you're actually hitting them, like as close as you are, it gave me Wreck vibes. This was the first movie I put on my list here. It was and it's awesome. Really good movie, and it's one of those like I had to put on because not everyone's seen it. People know about Wreck. They know it's a horror trilogy. They know, like, you may or may not know it's foreign. Now, you know, if you don't know, well, now you know. There's a song in there too. Good. I can't pronounce who does this movie. I'm hoping you can. I'm gonna flip my camera. I don't want to be mean. Yaum Balaguero and Paco Plaza. That can be that one. It's the
Balaguero, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings by saying it, but like, you know, it's a co-directing job as well. So fucking good stuff. Fucking good stuff. Go give it a watch. What's your first, dude?
So my first is, I was kind of struggling because I don't really do.
You don't really do horrors.
I don't really watch a lot of horror. So anytime I've seen a zombie movie, it's been like a mix of genres.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where, like, I can watch a zombie movie and not have it just be blah blah blah, 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 monster horror. Yeah, it's just and I can enjoy it. So my first one is Planet Terror.
Ooh. Yes.
So this is on Robert Rodriguez directed movie, and so right off the bat, the biggest appeal wasn't even the fucking zombies. It, you know, they were kind of second, but for me was the way it was done. It was obviously part of that grindhouse thing that he did with Quentin Tarantino.
I was going to say it's two movies, Planet Terror and another one, right?
Death Proof. Yeah.
Death Proof.
That's Tarantino's.
Yeah.
And like, it's just the griminess of the way it's shot, the film. It's all the look, like I said. And then you have all the zombie stuff and, you know, the ridiculousness that you fucking Rose McGowan with a machine gun for a leg.
That's so cool, though.
It's so fucking out there, but it's so fun. And I just love Robert Rodriguez. He's that director who grew up watching this. Like, he grew up watching the grimy shit because he probably couldn't afford to go to fucking the proper theater. So he has to watch the B movies because that's what he could afford. But you see, like, the love that he has for those movies in this movie. And it's just fucking dope.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
What?
I leant over to fart. And I could see on my mic level that it picked it up.
My
little level twitched. Damn it! Put it into second.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Do you know what movie is teased in the Grindhouse duo that actually became a movie itself?
Machete.
There was another one. So there's two.
What was the other one?
Hobo with a Shotgun, Rutger Hauer.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And Hobo with a Shotgun is so batshit crazy. Honestly, if you want to see an old guy, like, get pissed off because, like, I'm pretty sure the movie is him trying to save up money for a lawnmower at the end of the world. And, like, literally, like, the world ends. This guy goes to the shop to buy the lawnmower.
I can finally get those kids off my damn lawn.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, I didn't know Machete was part of that, but that's awesome. I love, like, man, give me Danny Trejo. We need Danny Trejo in a fucking, sorry, butcher that name. Like, you can laugh at me all you want.
Do you believe that motherfucker is like almost 80 years old?
I need him in a zombie killing movie though.
For real. And it's crazy because he, as old as he is, you put him in a movie like this, you expect him to be a total fucking badass.
I need a Machete sequel or spin-off of him killing zombies. Because what is the number one weapon in a zombie killing game that you would want to pick up?
Fucking machete.
Like The Last of Us gives you one. It's the yep. only one shot kill melee weapon. You get it in the sewers for the first time. Do you want to know why you get it in the sewers? Because the fucking ending to the sewer mission in The Last of Us is such a bitch on veteran mode. Like, mate. I'm still playing through this game on unforgiven mode or some shit, where like ammo is scarce, weapons are scarce, but you still get the machete. And I was like, I'm trying my best. I've got enough resources to make one Molotov. And they put you in that like locker room before you escape, and like you got your homeboys trying to open the door, and I'm like, open the door, Ellie. The zombies are coming. The clickers, no. I had to play that scene so many times. Like I'm in pain. I'm in so much pain. Right, where am I going next? Most recent or the better of the... Well, actually, no.
I mean, if you have a better of the two, I would save that for your last one.
Ooh, I'm going to piss a lot of people off if I say which one's better here. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a sandwich. I'm going to do a foreign, English-speaking foreign. There we go. And then okay. people can decide which one I thought was the better version. Or the better version. All the right. better, not version, but the better movie. So, World War Z.
Really?
This shitting movie was one of the first movies I remember willingly going to see multiple times in the cinema. I thought it was fucking glorious. The word zombie isn't even uttered outside of like what they're trying to call the undead, and they joke about not calling them zombies. They call them Zeeks, I think. Yeah, it's weird, but it's like it's the idea that they can be saved. Like no zombie movie, no zombie series. Like even like a series would try. Like they you know this where. They take the first season of The Walking Dead. The idea is that people can be saved, but then they realize that actually the zombie virus is in everyone. And then it's like, it's when you die is when it gets released. There's a theory about The Walking Dead and their virus as well, which is pretty fun. We'll do that at the end, if there's time and if I remember, which I probably won't. But I like it's the reason why my dad hates zombie movies. He hates zombie movies because it's an unwinnable situation.
Yeah,
like it, you know, as soon as you make any kind of noise, like boom, you know, you don't actually realize how many people are on this earth until some sort of like undead, like shit happens, and then boom, like you are outnumbered for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
I like the idea of World War Z, having that idea that like people can be saved, or like there's a way out of it. Essentially, but nothing is as good for me like that hospital scene. Holy shit, Brad Pitt destroyed that, having to go through the hospital twice, like to get the like, and he doesn't know which one he's like. He's like, crap, if I take the wrong vial, I'm gonna die. he chooses like hepatitis A or some shit. You know, you can have that and not die. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird. Like is it the scene in Israel? Like they hear about someone you know, there's a kingdom where you can't, like, where they aren't getting attacked, and then at the end, like at the end of that sequence, you just see the Zeeks like climbing on top of each other to fall over the wall, and then you just see it all go to hell like within seconds. Oh, dude, so good. And I remember in there was meant to be a sequel about like the Russian sequence that is bypassed in the movie, or like the Russian half of the movie. But then I think it was it's one of those movies where audience input changed the ending. the original ending of the movie had Matthew Fox, who at the time, 2013, is huge. Matthew Fox is huge. He's like, he's a household name. Lost has only just finished. Or finishing. It's so Matthew Fox is the pilot in this movie. It what they do in the movie at the original ending is that Brad Pitt's been away for so long that Matthew Fox has actually like begun a relationship with Brad Pitt's wife. Like they've had kids and shit.
Fucking A.
But like the audience watched the movie and was like, that's pretty bullshit, man. Like, I know that shit happens and like what's she meant to do? Like, you know, go on living alone kind of thing. It's, you know, she's well within her rights to, you know, to find a new hubby. But like, you know, we've just spent the whole movie with Brad Pitt. Like, man's doing the most out here. Like,
oh, for sure.
And like, he wants to come home for some, you know, every 4 year sucky, bro. Like, my boy's earned it. He has the right to send that oi message we were talking about earlier. Like, if there's anyone who has the right. Yeah, like, there was another not zombie movie, where audience input also changed the ending, but made it worse. Mm-hmm. You know what movie that was?
No.
I Am Legend.
Oh.
But I've read the book, and I know that they're not zombies. They're actually vampires in I Am Legend. But yeah. Yeah, that's my second movie, World War Z.
Nice.
I pity the next movie. So, Sebastian, what's the next movie?
So the movie I'm going with is Warm Bodies.
Nicholas Hoult. Good choice.
Mm-hmm. So, I remember going to see this movie, and I didn't really know what to expect. I just thought the trailer looked kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. I was really surprised. Like, I thought Nicholas Hoult has some really good, solid comedic chops. And, you know, he's playing opposite, what's his name, fucking Rob Corddry?
Yes, Rob Corddry, yeah.
Yeah. And even as zombies, you know, they play, you know, they're playing friends, and obviously you've got the Romeo and Juliet undertone of it, and obviously the zombie apocalypse and all of it. But yeah. It's one of those movies. It does something new with the genre, which was what initially drew my attention to it. And then there's also, you know, you see fucking Dave Franco just get bodied in the movie, which is so fucking funny. He's like, he's in the like commercials and trailers and stuff, and he's gone like the first 20 minutes.
I mean, you know, like any Franco that gets bodied in any movie ever, give me that shit.
It's so fucking
Dave
funny.
Is annoying, so and good. James, we don't talk about James. good choice. You know, but isn't this another movie, like, wasn't there like a series or a sequel that never came out to Warm Bodies?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I honestly, looking at it for what it is, I don't think it needed it.
Yeah.
You know, it is pure, it is works perfectly fine. It's a standalone story.
It's one of those movies that like came back around a couple of years ago, and people were like, you know what actually wasn't bad? Warm Bodies. But it was one of those movies that was panned when it first came out. I remember it. I don't know about America, but definitely in the UK, like as soon as Warm Bodies came out, it was one of those. A week later, Cineworld was showing it like once a day at like 8 p.m. like the death time to have a movie shown.
I mean, I think it got like mid reception out here. I think it did okay.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like it's one of those those zombie movies that kind of touch on what you were talking about with World War Z, where you're like, you know, they can be saved.
They can be saved. They can be changed. Like, there's a way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it obviously it's a little altruistic and a little, you know, overly hopeful. Like, oh, it's just love. They need love. Like, no, it's not. But like, it's cool that you're trying it, and it seems to work. But like, yeah, I genuinely enjoy the movie. I think it's really funny, and like, I love also the distinction between the types of zombies, where you have like the regular zombies just kind of roaming around, but then you have the ones that are just, they're just gone, like the skull ones.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just, there's no coming back for those. I love the distinction because it makes it clear some can be saved, but not all of them can be.
Yeah.
Some are just gone.
Nah, that's awesome. Yeah, nah. It, like, actually, I think I'm due a rewatch of Warm Bodies, and I don't think my dad's even seen it, so you may have... You may have suggested a Sunday night movie, because me and my dad have movie nights on Sunday, so... You may have added one to the list there, young Sebastian.
Oh, right. There you go.
My last one. It is up to you to ever decide whether I thought this one was better or World War Z was better. You may never know. So, spoiler alert, I thought this one's better. Train to Busan.
You know what's crazy? I knew that that was going to be on one of the three. I knew that that was going to be one of the three.
I fucking love this movie, man. It is so fucking good. You got Korean zombies. You got a big, like, you got a one of those big fucking hyperspeed trains that's like, this is where someone got the idea for bullet train. It's like, yeah, I want that, but without the zombies. But I want, like, I need the endless, like, non-stop carriage to carriage, like, sort of action kind of shit. Yeah. Fucking awesome, man. It's like, this is, without being a direct homage to, like, Romero zombies, like, so, I don't think this is going to be on any of our lists, but, you know, the godfather of zombie movies is Dawn of the Dead. Is it yours? It, which version, though?
I'll get to it, but just know that Romero is on
the list. I like, so, you know, I think for me, like, this edged it out. Like, it for me, this it was between this and a Dawn of the Dead. I chose this one, man, because it had, like, the redeeming qualities of shithead characters. You know, just shithead characters, you know, wanting to see die, get absolutely brutally fucked up, like in the wheels of trains that have derailed. Awesome. Love it. Give me more of that. Can I do that to my enemies? Like, it's entertaining. You know, the sequel, you know, yeah, it doesn't really live up to, like, the ideas of the first one. The kind of, I would say the sequel to Train to Busan, which is, I think, Train to Peninsula, is think of it as like Arkham Asylum, Arkham City. Arkham Asylum is a linear game. Like, whether you like it or not, Arkham Asylum is a linear game. What isn't a linear game is Arkham City. Arkham City takes the ideas, the art style, the action of Arkham Asylum, and is like, okay, cool. That's what people liked. That's what we wanted them to like. Now we can give them the big fucking open world Gotham and have them roam around as much as they would like. You know, it's the greatest two games, I would say, that have released in recent memory. Train to Busan and Train to Peninsula tried to do the same thing. Okay, cool, we give you the idea, let's try and open up, and it failed. Well, it didn't really fail. And now we hear about an American remake. It's like, I just think, just like, if this movie was just that movie, the longevity of it would have been so much better. We don't need the sequel, we don't need the remake. Like, people forget how great Train to Busan was. And honestly, when I was, like, looking through, like, you know, websites, other website lists, this sometimes this was midway, sometimes this was pretty high, sometimes it was quite low down. And I think that's because, like, what's happened after the movie's come out has affected people's perception and reception of the original movie. And it's just a shame. So I had to put it here because, like, I think before this movie came out, the zombie genre was dead. Mm-hmm. It was don't even think about touching it. If you're writing an indie movie and you're not, like, you know, and you're not a produced director, don't even think about doing like a zombie movie. Like you won't be looked at. But Train to Busan came out, and I would say this revived the genre. Like World War Z didn't. World War Z actually made people realize, okay, with this and Walking Dead, I'm kind of like I'm done with the zombies now.
Zombied out.
Yeah, yeah. But by 2016, the Walking Dead was shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the genre needed a revival. And who better to do it than the Koreans, man? Like they make some good fucking movies, G.
They do.
And Train to Busan is one good fucking movie.
Yeah.
Better than Army of the Dead, I'll tell you that much. Okay. Surprise me.
Right. So I, you know, obviously we mentioned that it's going to be a Romero movie.
I'm glad.
But it is not Dawn of the Dead. It is not Day of the Dead. It is Night of the Living Dead.
Ooh. Okay.
So I have very, very vivid memories of like watching this movie as a kid because my grandpa had a bunch of like old movies and this is just kind of one of them. And I remember watching it and being fucking terrified. compared to like all the movies that we've seen, this is all the movies we've talked about, this is the most tame zombie movie ever. But putting yourself in the mindset, you know, it's 1968, you're going to go see a movie. You're going to go see a George A. Romero movie. It is a zombie movie. What the fuck's a zombie? Oh, it's the dead coming back, but it's not a vampire. No, this is just a mindless fucking feeding machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it is. That's all you're seeing. You know, you were talking about, you know, you kind of mentioned like, you know, the godfather of fucking horror of zombie movies. This is the granddaddy. This here be the granddaddy of horror of zombie movies. If this movie, I have no doubt if this movie didn't come out and do as well as it did, none of the movies that we've talked about would even exist.
Oh no. Yeah. 100%. Yep.
And then like thinking about it, like it was led by a black actor, a black character
mm-hmm.
in 1968.
Yeah.
But you know, again, it's very tame, and it's one of those movies where you're like, you don't necessarily...
Yeah, not that many zombies in Night of the Living Dead, is there?
Not really. And even then, like, if there are, they're not, like, grotesque. They're just people with, like, kind of cheap blood effects. Again, 1968, black and white movie, you don't have to go too crazy. But, you know, it was such a seminal movie that set the standard for what was to come, and, you know... So it's a simple fucking story. It's a bunch of people trying to keep themselves away from zombies for as long as they can.
Man, we need to do another list of the top three George Romero movies.
Mm.
I already know what my first one would be. It's Assault on Precinct 13. That movie is fucking phenomenal. I like talk about movie rewatchability. Like the soundtrack alone. Like we're talking about filmmaker here. Who was like, oh yeah, I'm going to write, I'm going to direct. Well, I'm going to do the soundtrack as well. You what?
Yo, Loki, I don't know about you all at home, you know, wherever y'all are listening, but I'm hearing the makings of an ongoing series. You know, maybe we pick a director and kind of talk about our favorite movies from them. I think that would be pretty dope. I mean,
I would like that. Like, you know, we've been looking for a new series, man.
That's not bad.
We can start next time with George Romero.
There you go.
What he spoiled one of mine. Like, you know, I've not talked about it enough, so I'll talk about it some more.
There you go.
Definitely the original.
Y'all know what to.
We don't talk about the Ethan Hawke version. That version can fucking do one.
Yeah, no, I think that's got to be the thing. If we're talking about directors, the director had to have directed it, and then obviously the best version of whatever.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, that's zombies. Join us next time.
So my backup was Dawn of the Dead, the 2004 version.
Mm, so is that the one with Zach, what's his name? Bing Rames?
Zack Schneider, and written by Jimmy Gunn.
That's such a weird
the
team.
The two gun bang bang. Because him and Sean.
That's such a weird team. James Gunn, Zack Snyder.
Can I just give a quick shout out? Not that you'll ever listen to this. Sean Gunn was a standout in Guardians 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like the evolution of the role of Kraglin and the amount of work he put into Rocket. And now that, if you didn't know, he also does the voice of Baby Rocket. And that man put in the most. Good shit.
That movie wrecked me, dude. That was so good.
Yeah, I was on, like... We can't talk about it too much. That movie is still fresh, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it soon, but we will get into it.
Oh yeah, when we do our end of the year list, Guardians 3 is coming around.
Well, we'll talk about it then.
Just if you're gonna see the movie, take tissues for both your eyes and your dick. We'll see you next time, and don't forget to free those balls.
All right, remember to rate, subscribe, share us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Come join us on this trip. Now I'm like doing the throwing out the scripts.
Come on, man. Come join us on the trip.
I'm sorry.
Now we're throwing out the scripts.
I hope we don't charge a penny.
I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.